Welcome to this free episode of Dunked On. If you would like all of our playoff coverage, all of our draft coverage, all of our off-season coverage, including the mock off-season, you can subscribe to Dunked On Prime with our mock off-season sale at dunkedon.supportingcast.fm. That's dunkedon.supportingcast.fm.
Are you ready for some talk about Brandon Miller?
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, I think we need to address the elephant in the room first with him, which, of course, is the murder that took place in Tuscaloosa that Miller's teammate, I should say, is now charged with capital murder. That's Darius Miles is the teammate. Darius Miles had a friend, a Mr. Davis, who actually pulled the trigger, firing into a parked Jeep and killing a 23-year-old woman who's in the front passenger seat. Massive caveats about all of this discussion because we don't know precisely what happened. There's going to be a legal process. There's going to be a trial. Both men who've been charged with capital murder have disputed those charges. And what facts we do know are based on a few things. There's the testimony of the investigator and as they were proceeding towards the indictment. And then there have also been articles from people who have probably talked to the defense and have viewed these videos taken of security cameras near the scene that really appear to show the whole incident, but that's never really been made public. I obviously have not been able to view that. I've only been able to read articles by reporters who supposedly have seen this footage and are relaying the contents to us. And it is disputed who fired first. Was it someone from inside the Jeep? What caused this dispute? All of that is in doubt at the moment. Brandon Miller, is important to note at the outset, has not been charged with a crime. There's nothing really that they could have charged him with based on any evidence that I have heard. I probably spent about 2 hours or so reading up on as much as I could about this case. Because it is clearly when you're talking about someone being drafted, likely in the top five, likely in the top three. And of course, the recent controversy with Ja Morant has reminded us that these things are very important when you're talking about drafting someone that you would expect to be a face of your franchise. I'm going to just summarize this pretty briefly here. And I apologize if there's an article that I haven't read. I'm not a crime reporter. I did as much as I was willing to do over 2 hours. I'm going to try to be as fair to him, but also as fair to everyone else involved in this case that has been such a great tragedy in Tuscaloosa. As best I can tell, what we know now, and keep in mind that some of this comes from leaks probably by the defense and by Miller's attorneys. So there could be a lot more that comes out. Miles left his gun possibly concealed in the back of Miller's car, and Miller was giving him a ride. They weren't necessarily hanging out during the day, and Miles and Davis apparently got into some sort of altercation with the group that included the victim. Before apparently this altercation began, Miles had texted Brandon Miller to come and pick him up in Tuscaloosa. This is in the 1 a.m. hour or so, and so Miller had left already, according to apparently his version of events, and there isn't anything to dispute that at this point in time, to go pick him up. As he's driving, another text comes in from Miles, basically saying, I'll try to summarize as best I can, that he needed his gun because someone was possibly threatening him and that there was a possibility of an altercation. We don't know what Miller then texted back to him, but it looks like it must have been something because Miles then texted Miller to meet him at another player's car, which he knew where it was because he had dropped him off apparently. So Miller shows up. It's not clear whether or not he knows that he is bringing the gun to Miles and the purpose, whether he saw that text message or not. But let's assume the worst, that he did know that he was bringing him the gun. I don't know if he handed it to him, if he even necessarily, he must have known, you would think, that it was in the car, or Miles wouldn't have texted him saying, hey, I need it, because Miller, if he didn't know it was in the car, wouldn't have known where to bring it to him or how to bring it to him. So to be clear, this is not Miller's gun. This is Miles' gun. It's unclear that Miller ever handled the gun. It's unclear, though possible, that Miller knew that Miles wanted the gun. It seems less likely, though maybe still possible, that Miller, by the time he meets up with Miles and Miles gets the gun and gives it to Mr. Davis, knows that there's an altercation and that, you know, Davis needs it for defense or whatever it is. And then, of course, the incident happened in which, you know, one side alleges that Davis shot first, one side alleges that one of the occupants of the car shot first. So those are basically the facts right there, Danny, as best that I could tell them. Of course, much is in dispute still. How does that make you feel about possibly drafting Brandon Miller to be the face of your NBA team?
I would say a little uncomfortable, but not disqualifying in and of itself, but it would put significantly more pressure on my organization and or whomever I would hire to interview, to research, not just this, but everything else. Like, is this an outlying thing? Yeah. And there's, because, you know, there's definitely an element of this where, like, he, whether fully wittingly or unwittingly or some bridge between the two, like, not only put himself, but put other people in a more dangerous situation. And he did not pull a trigger. He did not, it was not his gun. So, like, the worst parts of this do not appear to have been Brandon Miller, but, you know, like, the gray area between those two can be more charitable or less charitable depending on how things go. So talking to other people, and the hard thing with this sort of research, I would presume, I've never had to do it. I used to work in politics, but I never did Oppo. What is, a lot of the people that you would talk to about how Brandon Miller is, like, as a person, are people who have, I don't even want to say like a necessarily like a financial interest, but probably have some sort of desire to see Miller do well. And so how could you parse that and everything else? And other people could have an axe to grind and everything else. So it would be a consideration though for me. I wouldn't just wipe it away.
No, I wouldn't say so either. And a few more details I should probably add to as I go through my notes. But Miller is in the car up the street when the shooting takes place. Initial reports had implied that Miller had parked his car in such a way as to, like, prevent this Jeep that the victim was in from escaping. That eventually the Jeep, as it pulled away, did sideswipe Miller's car, and Miller's car was actually hit by what appeared to be stray bullets. It's not clear that someone was actually aiming at Miller's car. So he is, you know, relatively close to the scene, but no, there's no crime that you can be charged with, you know, unless some evidence emerges that he was like, hey, give me this gun so I can go kill this woman. You know, again, it's unclear whether he was ever aiming for the woman. What we've heard, again, which is maybe more tinged with the defense's slant of view, was that, you know, he was just firing into the car kind of more indiscriminately in self-defense or not, but that it was more, you know, it wasn't necessarily that he was specifically aiming for this woman. You know, I think there'll be differing approaches on that, but it's, unless something comes out where it says it was, where Miller was reacting to an understanding of, hey, bring me this gun so that we can go kill this woman right now, like, that's, they're probably not going to be able to prove any sort of a legal case against him. And I think if you had to think about it, particularly in a world where a lot of people are carrying guns, that is unfortunately the nature of our society. I really wish that were not so. We have a rather unique society in that regard, and it really pisses me off that's the case. But if you have a friend who's like, hey, like, I, and again, it's unclear if Miller even knew that he was bringing the gun and for what, and that he had gotten this text. But if your friend says, hey, like, I'm being threatened, like, I need something for self-defense, that's mine, can you bring it to me? That's probably something that you're going to do for a friend. There's no indication that you're just going to go commit a capital murder. Like, that's how you, and a lot of people feel like that's how you have to defend yourself when you're being threatened, is you go get your gun. So that's, now you can certainly, I think, question his judgment. You can question the fact that, you know, you're just hanging out with people who are carrying guns around like this and get into altercations like this, that this is, you know, apparently a relatively normal part of life. In theory, that's definitely would have to go into all the background stuff as well. And haven't been any reports of anything else along these lines that he's been involved in. Of course, if something is uncovered, then that would change your evaluation of things. And, you know, that it was just dumb to even be even tangentially around something like this and around people who are doing this. But, you know, one of these guys is his teammate after all.
Yeah, like there's a lot of context that we will probably never know, and teams definitely won't know before a month from now.
Yeah. And is it, like, great that Miles just stashed his gun in Miller's car? Like, no, I don't love that at all. But that's also, like, something that you are legally allowed to do in this country. Like, that is the world that we live in right now. So ultimately, I take the same view as you do that this is not something that would, you know, assuming more is not uncovered here, this is not something that would massively color my evaluation of him as a prospect. Many people were really angry that Miller wasn't suspended by the university. Having gone through all the facts, I can't quite say that that's, I mean, there has to be like an actual process there. I'm not like, you could say, hey, maybe he just, this was foolish to be involved with this, but there also doesn't appear to be any sort of intent as well. And some of the breathless headlines that took place early on and circulated on social media were, you know, relatively been insubstantiated, plus such as like him positioning his car intentionally so that the victim couldn't escape, like that's that sort of thing. You know, it's unclear if he even knew like who these people were. So definitely a big tragedy, and you know, there are two people that he knew are charged with murder, but there's also not an indication that he did anything more than what I've said so far. And of course, if more comes out, then that could change. Miller, for his part, he refused to answer questions about it, providing NBA personnel at the combine that he interviewed with a legal brief from his attorneys about why that is. And I'm sure teams, particularly ones that are right in the top of the draft, will be sending their own personnel to Tuscaloosa and trying to figure out a little bit more on what happened as well. And certainly there will be questions. Like, there is a, this is not like a great PR look, particularly if you already have are potentially bringing back someone like Charlotte for the intel, bring back someone who has confirmed legal issues and has pleaded no contest. But Jeremy Wu and John Cavoni said Charlotte, which of course is the number two pick, they reported that the front office would like to have Miles Bridges back on the roster next season. So that could, this could be another PR issue for the Hornets, possibly. Let's get into the actual player though here at this point now. Tell us more about Brandon Miller, the player.
Absolutely. We don't have definitive measurements on Miller because he did not get measured at the combine, but I asked Sam Vecenie and he said that this sounded good, sounded about right to him. 6'9", 200 pounds with about a 7-foot wingspan. This happens a couple of times in this draft class, but Brandon Miller, one and done at Alabama, he's already 20 and turns 21 in November. So his rookie year, despite being a true freshman, will be his age 21 year. I did not really research.
Maybe he's not a true freshman. Maybe is he an untrue freshman at that point? I know it refers to like redshirt freshman, but it's...
Yes. And so I don't know the full story there. I also didn't do a ton of digging. There was other digging to do with Mr. Miller. A little bit of a bio. Grew up in Tennessee, was Tennessee Mr. Basketball his senior year, was a consensus five-star high school prospect, but more like 10th in his class than in contention for number one. Chose Alabama over some high profile programs or playing with the G League Ignite or Australia. His dad played football at Alabama. And in his 1 year at Bama, Miller, second team All-America and SEC Player of the Year. And that's really, you know, that's really impressive on court stuff for a freshman. And the numbers bear that out.
Yeah, we'll hit just on some brief stuff here, but 38% from three, took about 7 a game at 6'9". Really impressive numbers, with shooting in the 40s for most of the season. That's definitely his most impressive skill. I think where I want to begin, though, is with a little bit more on his physical profile. You mentioned the 200 pounds, 6'9". Solid, but not unbelievable wingspan for that size. Not very strong at this point in time. We've seen guys get stronger, but doesn't have really, I think, the breadth of shoulder to make you think that strength is really going to be a major part of his game. He's definitely like a thinner guy, and I would consider him an okay athlete. He's able to get up a little bit in space for some dunks. So a lot of these dunks are kind of, he's really extending his arms as far as he can. He's got a decent wingspan and he's tall, so he can get some dunks. But if he has a body on him, or he's not able to just like gather the way he wants to, he doesn't really get very far off the ground. He had a few big dunks in this season, but not that many. I think he had...
I have it that he had 22 made dunks on the year.
Yes. He was... Yeah, I was trying to get to that page myself, but I went the wrong way and clicked on Alabama's team instead. Yeah, 22 of 25 on dunks on the year. And then, so I wouldn't consider him an explosive athlete. He's thin. And then moving his feet, you know, pretty solid for 6'9". Doesn't get blown by too much, but also not someone who's really like pressuring, using his length to disrupt. He's kind of more of a containing defender. And so the physical profile is not like, you know, wowing you. It's more kind of the skill level that he shows at that size. So that's, we should probably get into that skill level now, and because that is what makes him so intriguing. And we haven't really seen a wing coming out of college with this sort of polish in some time.
We haven't. And one of the parts of the story which Keandre Houpin-Elect talked about, and I also talked about this with Bassini on my pod, is that Brandon Miller did the three-pointer was a question mark for him before his freshman year at Alabama, because he was more of a mid-range guy and he was making those shots. And then he had the in-between game and it was like, can he extend out to three? And then he takes 7.5 threes a game, makes 38% of them. And on his kind of volume, that's 275 three-point attempts in the season. And he also shot 86% from the free throw line. So the shot, and that's a mix of self-created and catch and shoot overall, as it is for pretty much any young player. 1.19 points per possession, points per shot, I should say, on catch and shoot situations. That's pretty strong. And dribble jumpers, if you want to classify it that way, that's the way Synergy does it. He had 0.89 points per shot, which is 68th percentile for a 6'9" guy. That's pretty impressive. And the thing that I think Miller and his representation could sell people on is that based on that volume, even if he didn't necessarily do it in high school, you can be confident that what, like, that combination of size and shooting, that there is a place for him in an NBA rotation and probably an NBA starting five relatively quickly. And even if he doesn't, the on-ball stuff we'll talk about, that I think it's better than a shooter only would be. But the kind of the worst case scenario for him, given his positional size and kind of the things he does well, is pretty damn useful.
Yeah, and we'll get into this more, but I do consider him a pretty high floor prospect for that reason. I am a believer in the jump shot, also shot in the mid 80s from the line, which again, it's at 6'9", that you don't see that very often.
And he got to the line almost five times a game, which is also a positive.
So let's talk more about the jumper. He shoots it more kind of on the way up, doesn't have a very high release point, doesn't get a lot of elevation, but he does have good versatility to his shot. He's able to shoot off the dribble. He can attack like the mesh point of a switch and just pull up off the dribble from three. He's able to shoot on the move. He's able to shoot coming off of screens. His spot ups, he's got plenty deep range because it's easier to shoot from deep with kind of more of that set shot type of release, shooting on the way up. I mean, it's not quite Steph Curry, but it's more along those lines than it is guys who really like rise up and shoot at the top of their jumps. And it's a little bit of a shame because he's so tall that he shoots it that way. And I think that's going to affect my thought on him as a score or some, but this is definitely real shooting. And just to get that type of volume up at that size, really can shoot in just about every way, particularly going to his right. A lot of shooters struggle shooting going to their right. He can do that off the dribble. He can do that off of screens. He gets his body underneath him really well. The release is pretty quick also, which helps mitigate some of the issues that he might have getting his shot off, as well as just being 6'9 to begin with. So all really impressive. I don't know if you wanted to weigh in on what you thought of his jumper as well, but it's just really good. It's player type in particular.
It's very good. I like his footwork on his jump shot too. And one of the other ones that I really liked in the game against Liberty, he hit a trail three with the perfect footwork on it. And that's not something young guys, I mean, he is 20 turning 21, but it's not something that young guys have very often.
What do you mean by trail three?
Like he's, you know, the big, he's just coming from the front court, coming from the back court, running up in the action and just sets his feet and gets the shot. Like it's never a part of the offense. It's just something guys don't always think about, like to be set and to be ready and to get it. Like the trailer, the 3-point shooter is a trailer.
So. Yeah.
Okay. And so, it's not something that everybody has right in their skill set. And yeah, I like the versatility of it. It, even though he's not the most explosive athlete, like fluidity coming off screens plus a jumper is plenty good. Like we've seen a lot of athletes weaker than Miller do very well in that role. We've seen a lot of players shorter than Miller do well in that kind of a role. So you can see that too. I was going to get into something else, but I realized that's not necessarily rigidly shooting, so we can save it.
Well, I think we can move on. I don't really have a ton else to say. Well, I guess it is interesting to me, because I hadn't known that about, I just coming completely fresh on these guys. I hadn't known that at the lower levels, he was deemed to be more of a mid-range guy, particularly because I didn't really see like how he's going to get that shot off.
I was surprised too. I watched a little bit of footage of it, but it was definitely a surprise. But also, like, he's so much taller than high school kids, so it wasn't really as much of a difficulty. But one thing that connects with spot ups that I thought was really fascinating with the statistics of Miller, I did watch some of the film, is that the spot up numbers on him are really good. 1.15 points per possession. That's incredibly strong overall, but that's all his jump shot. It's the no dribble jumper, the spot ups as spot ups. When he drives off of a spot up, the numbers are actually pretty awful. It's below a point per possession overall. And it's a small sample, and Alabama was, you know, they were playing a big who they were often, there was, when I watched some of those clips, there was some crowding there. And there's a lot to like about Miller as in, like, you know, kind of with the ball in his hands. But those limitations as a driver and as a finisher, even if his finishing got a little bit better over the course of the year, when you combine that not only with his like more modest athleticism for his size, but also the dramatic uptick that is going to happen when you go up against, like, there is the shift from college bigs to NBA bigs is stunning. And so if, you know, he's not getting a ton of necessarily separation on those, you're going to be running into somebody that's going to have a chance of blocking your shot, of being bigger and stronger, and in some cases for him faster than you, and it's gonna be a challenge.
Let's start with the good first. You brought up a lot of different points there that I want to hit on, and I think, like, this guy is 6'9" and he can dribble, pass, and shoot.
Yes,
like his pick and roll game in terms of just the mechanics of it, if not necessarily some of the results as a score, is incredibly impressive. Like, he's got good hesitations, he's able to even do like a little bit of snaking, he can pass fake, he can even kind of eyebrow fake the pass and then attack. He manipulates the big pretty well in pick and roll. He loves throwing left-handed passes to shooters or even no looks to the big rolling in the room. He mostly played the three at Alabama, maybe a little bit of four. So he had plenty of chance to run pick and roll. And when the opposing team was in a conventional pick and roll defense, he could also just shoot the three off the dribble in pick and roll. And while I didn't see a ton of great mid-range game out of the pick and roll, and his floater game really was a struggle. He was only 12 out of 37 on floaters. Some of those were out of kind of more post-up sort of plays, but some of those out of pick and roll. But, like, his handle is really, really good for a 6'9 guy. And what did he average, like 2 assists a game?
2.1, yeah.
But there was enough there, and particularly that they didn't have great spacing. Like, I think he's going to get to be pretty good as a pick and roll ball handler. If he's just overall good enough as a scorer to warrant getting the ball like that, like, I think he knows how to manipulate the defense. And he's a little more, remember, he's 20 and a half years old. So he's a little bit more polished than your typical wing player that we've been talking about coming out of college. So he should be, you know, a year further along in his development. But it is very impressive to see at his size what he can do as a dribbler, passer, and shooter. Like, that's, you kind of say, all right, we're always looking for wings. This guy's 6'9", he can do all this stuff. Like, just simply that, a 6'9 guy who can dribble, pass, and shoot, that is rare in the draft. There really are not that many guys who have had this sort of skill level at 6'9". But as you started to allude to, you know, the athleticism limitations, maybe I would say the low release point on his jumper, he's not great at like getting to a spot and rising up. Floater, I think, like, he's got pretty good touch. I think maybe he could get better there. He's not, didn't have great feel as a finisher, though again, that's something that can get better in the NBA. But all of those things do make you wonder about how effective he can be as a scorer at the basket. And then, but even more so, I would say, just scoring in isolation, like, if opponents switch him, like, what is he going to be able to do at that point? Because he also, not only is he not a great finisher at the rim, which we'll talk about a little more, but he also doesn't really get great separation without a screen.
That's where I wanted to go. So I describe Miller's handle as being more functional than dynamic. And for a 6'9" guy, that's pretty great. You know, like, if you could have a functional handle at 6'9", you're pretty good. One of the weaknesses for Miller that might not be solvable is that, like Kevin Durant, though he's not nearly as tall as Kevin Durant, Miller's dribble, his handle is just too high. And so I can imagine when he's being guarded at times by, like, if he's trying to triple threat a smaller guy, and Marcus Smart is better than most defenders, but, like, I can see those guys starting to time him up. Maybe it's not for a steal, but for a tip away, a deflection, those types of things. So when a smaller guy's on him, they can get him off rhythm a little bit. Also, many of the smaller players in the NBA are going to be per pound physically stronger than him. Like, they're going, because he's going to be on the thinner side. And so there will be those issues. And so I like Miller's handle more than most like kind of lower usage guys. I don't think, at least right now, it's good enough for a high usage guy. Like, you think about how somebody like, I mean, Kawhi is such a different player, but Kawhi, I mean, and, or I mean, it, to me, maybe it's more like you were higher on Jaylen Brown as a prospect than I was. But Jaylen Brown, actually, in some ways, his handle was more dynamic than functional, which is still a problem for him in the NBA. But for Miller, like, the thing that I wanted to, that I fixated on when in the kind of the more traditional on ball stuff, because he technically ran his most used possession type was pick and roll, but it's because Alabama handled that differently. It was like a light screen, and so they called it a pick and roll as opposed to something else. But he's not beating his man that often. And when he does, it's not like he's shaking them or losing them. It's more like he's getting a little bit past them. And that's good enough. Like, you can build a great career even with modest improvement. Like, you can build an even better one from where he is. But it sounds, and you please correct me if I'm wrong, I think you're more optimistic about his ability to create advantages one-on-one than I am.
I don't know about that. I think I like his handle better than you, but maybe more so in pick and roll, in terms of just the hesitation, getting to spots, manipulating the defense, changing speeds. But if you're going to be kind of, I think what I saw a lot of times is with both the threat of his shooting and his handle in isolation, he's actually able to fake the guy out, but then he's just like not quick enough to take advantage of the fact that he faked the guy out. And sure, the guy is able to just get back in front of him, use his strength. I could see him having to do a lot of, I think he even got called for in the footage that I saw, one of these, which you don't see that often, of the forearm push-off, right? And two of the guys that he's going to get compared to are Jason Tatum and Paul George. And those guys are two of the most, like, neither of those guys are incredibly quick in terms of first step, particularly Paul George in the later part of his career, where they're not necessarily blowing by guys off the dribble. So you see them a lot of times having to kind of shove off with the forearm to create space. The difference, though, that I see, and to be clear, he is a much better shooter at this stage than those guys were, although the stage for him, keep in mind, is a year later than Jason Tatum came out of college in terms of his age. And so maybe Tatum, by the time he was, you know, in the 2018 playoffs and, like, you know, having really big games against teams like the Bucks or at times the Cavs or whatever, like, you would say he probably was advanced beyond where Miller is now. But the difference that is that Paul George and Jason Tatum both have, like, pretty high releases, and they shoot at the top of their jump, and they are able to, despite being similar height, you know, they're not kind of, like, I'd say Miller's release is maybe a little bit quicker, but it's also just like Tatum, all he has to do is, like, get a little space, or, like, some of his step back game, which I think, like, his and George's step back game might be a little bit better too, because those guys are a little bit more physically strong, so they can use their bodies to create some space. I think they will be more physically strong than Miller, who just seems thinner than those guys at the same stage, and maybe just doesn't have the same ability to pack on strength necessarily. And then with that low release, I think it's just going to be harder for him. Now, can he just shoot more threes off the dribble early on or come off of screens more off the ball to make up for that? Yeah, maybe a little bit. But as an isolation scorer, what he's going to go to create separation, to get his shot off, when you're definitely going to be worried about his shot. But I don't think you're going to be that worried about him blowing by you on the drive. And then, hey, even if he does blow by you, you're not that worried about him just, like, packing it on somebody at the rim either. You might even just be able to kind of stay with him and bother him with your body and make him miss even without help, although he is a pretty good passer. So that's my biggest concern, is just his isolation scoring ability. I'd say even I consider that to be below Cade Cunningham, another guy that we should probably talk about, where he kind of fits into that group of some of the skilled wings who have come out. So go ahead.
Well, and one of the other points that feeds into all this is something that Hoop and Alike brought up in the video, and I saw in the games that I watched. So I actually ended up watching 3 Brandon Miller games, because full games along with all the other footage, because one of them was I was watching Jairus Walker film, and then I realized that because Walker and Miller never guarded each other, I couldn't count it as a Miller game. Brandon Miller did significantly better statistically against the worst teams they play. And that wasn't a huge surprise to me. I didn't know that until after I'd watched film, but I did watch that Houston game. Houston, of course, had one of the best defenses in all of college basketball this year. Brandon Miller went 0-for-8 from the field. He did make 8-9 from the line, but like he kind of disappeared a little bit that game. He did have a much better game in the Gonzaga one, which I watched. But the idea that a player with his skill set would do significantly better against less athletic, against weaker competition, and then struggle with higher caliber athletes with higher caliber executing teams sounds completely reasonable based on the film I watched.
Yeah, and I watched some of the San Diego State game. I tried to vary it up more, and I just watched, like, I think I ended up watching like 6 halves, in addition, of course, to a ton of his on-ball stuff on Synergy. And the San Diego State game, in which he went 3 of 19 with 6 turnovers that ended their season. Those guys were big. They were strong. They were getting into him. They were switchable. You know, he had to rush his shot a little bit more. He definitely did not appear comfortable against those guys in the way that he did it in some of the other games that I saw. Let's talk about his finishing at the rim now. Also, I mentioned that he's not incredibly explosive. He does have a pretty decent left hand, doesn't have like great touch finishing. The thing that struck me the most is how little elevation he's getting on some of these contested finishes. I have almost zero ability, at least at this point in time, to believe that he's going to be able to score over bigs at the rim who are at all in position. A lot of times even he's struggling with just his own man on those plays. He shot 48% for 2 overall, though it was 62% in conference play. You mentioned that he got better throughout the season as a finisher and wasn't taking a ton of mid-rangers. But what you saw a lot of times was he'd have a body on him. He'd try to like jump into the guy. He'd end up not getting off the ground at all. He'd kind of shoot this like double pump on the way down, not get off the ground. He had a lot of shots that just got blocked in like pretty embarrassing fashion. Like early on, even he tried to like go dunk on someone from like Jacksonville State and just got summarily rejected. So I think it's mostly going to have to be finesse finishes from him. Now, maybe if he can figure out a way to use the fact that he's skinny to accentuate contact and get to the line more, Lou Williams style, that would be a... And Paul George has had some moments where he's gotten to the line more, but... Or he'll have to do more of kind of like the pump faking on the perimeter. But I don't think he's going to be a guy who gets on top of the rim quickly enough to draw fouls. I don't know that he's a guy who's going to be able to wrong foot guys enough, again, Lou Williams style, to where he's quick enough that he can then like get the guy going, leaning the wrong way and get contact against him, which he can then accentuate with his skinny body. So I don't think he's going to be a great finisher early on. He could get better with some length finishes. I didn't see like that much like great kind of Euro step extension sort of game. Maybe Miller can get better at that with his solid but not like crazy elite wingspan for his size. And, you know, 1 foot or 2 feet, just not that explosive and powerful as a finisher. And, you know, maybe he can, because he's such a good shooter and he's a good dribbler, like maybe he can get better with some of these like Nash layups and just get more extension, more of kind of like a high floaters off the glass sort of game. But I don't think we're ever going to look at him as a really great finisher. Even someone like Tatum, who struggled with his finishing quite a bit, I would say maybe that Miller has a little bit more technique than Tatum at this early stage, but Tatum got a lot stronger. He's just more powerful as an athlete coming in off of 1 foot. Like, I don't think you're going to see Brandon Miller with any of those dunks. Then if you're going to talk Paul George, that's another guy who, I mean, you remember how incredibly athletic Paul George was before he broke his leg with some of the huge dunks he had. Like, that's just not going to be Brandon Miller. Physically, actually, this is probably a name that may not resonate with you, but I'll throw it out there. See if you remember this guy. Do you remember a guy named Jamar Johnson?
No.
He was actually born the same year as me, 1980, and was a one and done at Cincinnati. I think he was on that that Kenyon Martin Cincinnati team in, I want to say that was 2000. And he was 6'9". He could shoot pretty well. I would say that Brandon Miller shown way more than Jamar Johnson ever did as a shooter and a skill level and a driver. But physically, Jamar Johnson was 6'9", but he was really a shooting guard. And that's kind of what on offense, at least, that's what I think of Brandon Miller as. He's really, I think he's going to be more of have a shooting guard style of game, coming off of screens, bombing threes, maybe isn't going to be as effective as an isolation scorer. You know, you don't see him as a guy who's like, okay, call up the other team's point guard. I'm going to run pick and roll at that guy. And now I can back down and score over him in the post or get around him easily with my long strides or something like that, or just easily create space against a smaller player who then can't contest it. I'd be concerned about someone like that kind of getting into his body and him not being able to do that much about it. So that I think he's kind of more of a shooting guard ultimately on offense. Is there anything else you want to talk about with his offense?
There were a few, so I had been lower on Miller's passing in the early film I watched, and some of that's just it's randomized synergy. Like, you could see where things go. But then when I watched the assists and turnovers, there were more that showed some craft. Like, he had a pick and roll lob to the roll man, a play where he I call it sometimes a tic-tac-toe pass to a big man in transition. It's like he's throwing the connector and the big didn't see it, but the idea was more important than the execution. It's like, okay, you're looking for the right things, had a really nice hit ahead. And my favorite thing about Brandon Miller as a passer is his willingness. If he sees the play and he sees the guy, he'll make the right play. I don't think of him as particularly incisive or creative as a passer. At one point I was like thinking about him, not comparing them as players in the slightest, but to Paolo Banchero. And I'm like, oh, Paolo is so much better as a passer. But that's also the best thing that Paolo Banchero does. And so,
yeah, well, Paolo also, he just has way more gravity than Brandon Miller once he gets inside the arc.
Well, and plays more powerful, has a better body and plays with more force.
And Paolo Banchero is a very, very good passer for his size. I was very impressed by what Brandon Miller was able to do.
Sure.
As a passer, again, for given where he's at in his development and his size, it's very solid. I would say at the higher end of range of some of these, true wing prospects that we've seen over the last 10 years at this stage.
And it will be interesting to see how Miller's game evolves from here. I think of the skill development that he would need to do to be a dominant on-ball player as daunting but possible. That's the way that I would describe it. And whether he's that player or not, I don't think we'll know right away. I think it'll take a couple of years. And you brought up Tatum before. I the player that Miller to me is most similar to is high school and Duke Jason Tatum. There are some important differences, but just generally in that range. And Jason Tatum has improved a whole hell of a lot to get to where he is, but he's a damn good player. He's a top 10 player in the league. We'll see whether he ends up being the best player in a championship team. That's an open question with him. Anything else on the offensive end?
Well, I think as we transition to the defense,
one other quick thing.
Okay, sorry.
Pretty seamless grab and go. That's just something he can do.
Yeah, absolutely. Comfortable handling and attacking it in transition, and some of his better finishes in transition as well. So given what I said about his offense, that I don't necessarily think he's going to be a number one scorer on his team, a number one pick and roll threat that is isolation game. Yeah, I think maybe it could get there. I'm not foreclosing it. He would just, and we've seen guys with this body type get a lot more athletic, and maybe I'm wrong about how much stronger he could get as well. Or maybe he'll just be better at creating the space, and that jumper will just be so good that even though it's a low release, it's not going to matter. And he can really improve some of his step back game to where he still is 6'9". He'll be able to get that off. So I'm not completely foreclosing the idea that he could really be a big time scorer, and then his passing will be good enough to work out of that. But yeah, I'm thinking he's more along the lines of probably a secondary option. However, that means to me that much depends on what he can do defensively. If we're talking about like a truly switchable wing in time, obviously. Of course, like these sorts of players are not going to be like great defenders early on in their group. But are we talking about a guy who can switch one through four? Are we talking about a guy who can hold up on the glass, can maybe give you a little bit of help defense and rim protection, who has at least the potential to play hard defensively? Because if you're talking about someone who has that level of versatility, not even necessarily to be like an impact defender, but who can just guard a lot of different positions, fit in so many different lineups, and then also is really going to be able to shoot the ball like this, then you're talking about an extremely valuable player. Where do you come in feeling about just his overall level of defensive versatility to fit into those categories that I'm talking about?
I think of him more as a team defender than a dominant individual defender. There were a number of things that bothered me in his defensive film, but they were mostly correctable other than the physical limitations. Yeah. So
I didn't see anything there. I was like, oh, this is terrible.
Right. There were times where he was over helping off of his guy, but I think that also might've been the scheme. Like, you know, those sort of things, a little too jumpy on pump fakes. Depending on what position you intend for him to go, like the screen navigation defensively wasn't fantastic, but all those, like, I'm not saying he was terrible at any of them, but, and they're all things that if it becomes imperative for your organization, depending on what scheme you're running, that he can do. But I didn't see, like, to me, what the thing that I brought up, and I like, it's the, the one thing that he was truly terrible at, I watched the full Arkansas game. He gave up two blatant back cuts to this guy Walsh on Arkansas, where he was just ball watching and just Walsh just ran straight past him. Like, that was bad. Like that's a couple of practice sessions. Like, you could fix that pretty quickly if you want to. But what I saw in Miller, which is compelling, it's a different thing than I usually say, is that I think of him defensively as the natural complement to a lot of these more dominant wing defenders. And so the idea there, I've used the phrase reciprocal versatility here, which is if your team has OG Anunoby, or they have the vision of what Marcus Smart is, or Drew Holiday, who's a wonderful defender on lots of different positions, you need the other players on that team to be able to guard multiple positions credibly, because otherwise you can't use that star in that way. Because if you're three or you're two is a one position defender, then you can't put them on, if that's the guy that Drew Holiday is guarding or whoever. I think Miller could be pretty good. Like, I don't think of him as great defending any position, but he could be credible enough guarding everyone but fives that he can work alongside that type of guy.
I think that's a reasonable way to put it, that he wasn't getting blown by, but he's really more of in isolation, more of a contained defender. And yeah, this player type, given his, when I say this player type, you know, kind of a star wing like this, a big offensive option on his team that generally is not going to be like heating up the ball necessarily. I didn't think that he looked particularly good getting over screens in a conventional pick and roll defense. You know, that he's just, there's a lot of him to screen. There's not many guys who are great at doing that at 6'9". I mean, maybe not even 6'7" a lot of times. So, but he's not getting into the ball, and he's a little bit slow in that regard. I think his hips are decent, his feet can move, but usually what he's doing is kind of playing the angles, trying to contain. And so he'll get like a okay contest, but generally not a great contest on a guy's jump shot when he's guarding another scorer. You know, he's not, you would think that a guy with his length he could like surprise guys who are taking a jump shot every now and then. That I didn't see that happen hardly at all. Not even necessarily talking about like actually blocking the jumper, but just really like making them uncomfortable. Like, those guys are able to get separation. Yeah, it's technically contested. It doesn't look that bad, but it's also just not perfect. And, you know, his strength is, I think, going to be a little bit of an issue. That's being this skinny. That's where you wonder, okay, can he guard power forwards? You know, if he's going up against your proto wing who really likes to use his size and his body to create space, he's going to be able to deal with that. I'm going to say probably not. Like, he also doesn't like bounce off the ground quickly on some of his contests. Like, you'll see some guys who are skinny, like a Mikhail Bridges. Yeah, he might be skinny, but he's getting into the ball well. He's got really good hands, which I wouldn't say that Miller has necessarily defensively. And then when the guy goes into his shot, he's able to transition from being in a stance to getting up off the ground and challenging that. So, like, I did think he played reasonably hard again for this sort of player. And, you know, I didn't see any just like massive fails in terms of effort, but you also didn't really see him showing up in areas, you know, that are unanticipated, blowing up plays, making plays off the ball necessarily. He fell asleep a few times that you mentioned, but it's so he wasn't really doing it. The one thing I would say really does make you think that he, you know, could be a plus is as a rebounder, you know, to average 8 rebounds a game. Again, also playing with the two bigs a reasonable amount of the time, that was impressive. Like, he always tracks back to get the defensive boards. You mentioned the grab and go game. He'll try to box out sometimes against larger players, but usually it's more just getting his nose in there. If the shot goes up, he's going to track back to the glass, actually jump for a contested rebound, and a lot of times get it using his length. And so that's just having that kind of a nose for the ball on the glass. That's encouraging to me. Could allow him to play in some more small ball type of lineups and at least help fill out that portion. But I'm not sure he's going to have just the strength to hold up at the four position, you know, against like an Aaron Gordon trying to duck him in or something like that. That's just, and, you know, switching out of five is definitely not going to happen. So I think I don't think he has the defensive ability. Like, he's not as bad as like Brandon Ingram, I would say. Ingram has better tools than him because he has a 7'3" wingspan, but he's not Tatum. I don't think he has those physical tools. I don't think he has those level of instincts. Not, I wouldn't say Cade Cunningham, even in Cade's smaller, but Cade's plays a lot harder. He'll try to go for shot blocks. He'll most of he averages like just less than a steal and just less than a block a game. And I think most of those blocks came kind of on ball when guys would try to like jump into him. He definitely will try to contest for sure. So I think he's kind of average, like okay. You never know. Evaluating wing defense is definitely difficult, but I think I would rather have someone that I viewed as having elite physical potential that, you know, maybe just wasn't trying as hard, that you could teach how to try, rather than just he's kind of, all right, he's trying okay, like he's not really a plus. He'll guard some of the best guys at times, but he didn't really, like, you know, it was just because that's the guy they had at the three. I didn't think it was because he was doing like some great job there or anything. So that's about where I end up there. In the post. Go ahead.
One way of describing this is that Miller's defensive film in college is significantly better than Banchero's, but Banchero was so much better as an athlete. There was a pathway to him being a capable defender kind of right away. And he was so much better his rookie year than he was in college.
Yeah. Now Banchero kind of has to play the four, which, you know, Miller doesn't necessarily. And if, like I said, he could probably just be a two on offense. Maybe he could just play a two on defense also. And then maybe he is a plus there with his length and his rebounding ability. It's tough for him to get over a screen. But if he's the worst of your three defenders, or at least the thinnest of your three defenders at the 2 through 4. So maybe he could be deployed that way, because unlike some of these guys, like, he is, I think, that level of shooter to play the two. So maybe he really just ends up being a two. So let's finish up here. Just any kind of like big themes you want to talk about as you're thinking about him in terms of your final evaluation?
I think that Miller's shooting, even if it was just 1 year of college, like, I feel confident that that's going to play, that that's going to translate. The variety, the difficulty. Yeah. I mean,
is it going to be 37% or is it going to be 41%? Like, that's a question, right? But he's going to get him up. He's got a lot of versatility.
Yeah, he's going to get him up, and he'll probably take a lower volume in the early years as a pro. And so you could see the efficiency go up just because they're more makeable. And we brought this up, but his efficiency in pure catch and shoot situations was very, very good overall. But the thing that is so fascinating about Miller, and it's one of the ways that you and I sometimes differ from others who evaluate players, in part because we do it from solely an NBA perspective, is the balancing between floor, ceiling, and reasonably likely outcomes. And so Brandon Miller, I think that the pathways to him becoming a very good player, like a low-end all-star, that's a pretty easy sales pitch for me. I mean, he can defend multiple positions, even if he's not a star at it. He can hit these shots, and there are ways that he can take modest improvements of his game. Where I get pause and where, like, his place in this class gets more into question for me is how you get from here, where he is, to best player on a championship team, regular season or postseason MVP, because you need to have the foundation physically and from a skill perspective, or at least the potential to take that on. And he's not a freak athlete. And the success of non-freak athletes as those kinds of players is narrow. Like, it happens. There are some every time, but there aren't that many. And his skill level is more complementary player great than star great. And Jason Tatum, great example of how you can bridge it. It is distinctly possible, but it's a lot. And very few players really get there. And so for me, I think that that duality is important, where it's like he's going to be able to fit in. He could fit in on a lot of teams. Like, Brandon Miller could make a lot of teams better. But will he do so as more of an amplifier than a advantage creator? Yeah, that's my instinct.
There's little about him that really like titillates the prospect of either. I mean, maybe just that 3-point shooting would probably be the only thing. And I agree with you. The idea of him as a top 10 player in the NBA, and you would think that like his absolute upside as an offensive player is someone like Paul George or Jason Tatum, although again, I'd expect him to do it in a slightly different way, given that the mid-range doesn't seem to make as much sense with the, it doesn't really have the high release and doesn't really get off the ground on those plays. And he's not really like that powerful to create space with his body. So, but I could see him getting to an offensive level of a Brandon Ingram, a Tatum, maybe a Paul George, not a Kawhi Leonard, you know, certainly not like a LeBron James or something like that. But you know, that's still really good. And that's sort of the, and then defensively is just more of a, as you like to say, a cog in the machine. Not someone who's really going to do anything spectacular, but can hold up reasonably well. The rebounding's nice. Maybe he can get a little better as a help defender. Seems like a pretty smart player, but not a natural defensive playmaker by any means. So you would think he's, when you look at someone, guys like Tatum and George, I would expect that he's going to be below there. Not as bad as Ingram, although Ingram probably has better physical tools, but he just doesn't use them. Plays hard-ish. Harder than Ingram, you would say. So like, I'm not like, oh man, I'm just like so excited about this guy at the top of the draft. But then you really start to use your brain and you're like, yeah, 6'9" and can dribble, pass, and shoot. And you go back and look at some of the wings that were drafted even in the top five over the last few years, right? Like, I'm not looking at this guy and being like, oh yeah, this is a guy I'm like really excited to take at like number one or number two. Like, I'm sure he's going to be a franchise player. But even just getting someone who's like a really good scorer on the wing, who can defend his position okay, and particularly given that he's going to be able to shoot from the outside and have a lot of gravity when he's off the ball, like his skill level is ahead of basically every true three prospect at this point in time, that point in time being the point he was drafted, not necessarily age 20.5, which is important to remember too when you talk about him not having that much upside. But other than maybe like Cade in the last 5 years, I would say that his skill level is higher than just about any other three that's been drafted at this point in time. And yeah, I don't think he has the upside of a lot of these guys due to the athleticism, but that's just like, wings are just that valuable. And I think if you, we'll talk about some of the other guys. I don't even know who else is out there yet, but just sort of thinking about him in an average draft and then thinking about some of the guys who went, you know, 3, 4, 2 in some of these drafts. You know, if you compare him to like DeAndre Hunter in 2019, right? Like, it's just no comparison. It's like he's a billion times better than that guy, right? Or who?
Scotty Barnes. Like,
yeah. Or Isaac Okoro, or who was like a 3. You know, Barnes was really more of a 4, is a little bit different. But, and I would love it if I felt better about Miller being able to be like a true 4 defensively at 6'9, I would probably be more excited then too to just be able to put that level of a shooter at the 4 who can also drive and pass and then defend the 4 pretty well. I don't love him there other than the rebounding. But yeah, it's just like the position that he plays, okay enough defensively, not going to take anything off the table for you on offense because of his shooting ability. And again, it's hard for me to think of another guy who's like drafted at the 3 in the top 10 who's this level of shooter at that and at that size. But you know, again, maybe if you think of him as a shooting guard, then he you kind of think of him differently. So once you start to think of him that way, in terms of just like, hey, this guy's a wing, he can drill, pass, and shoot like this, And yeah, you know what? Like, maybe he's never, doesn't have the upside to be a top 10 player, but he certainly seems to be extremely high floor. It's hard for me to see how he's going to just fail.
They're also like, the beauty of 6 foot nine guys is that they, especially ones who are at least competent defensively, is that they can fit in your rotation so many ways. Like he can guard different things. He could, you know, he could be lower usage. He's not going to be high usage, but you can have him as more of a play finisher and can, he works so many spots. And I mean, you think about all these teams that are just starving. I mean, I'm not saying he should go there, but you think about like the Indiana Pacers and how they just needed warm bodies at the 2, 3, and 4 so desperately. And if you could give even this Brandon Miller 30, 35 minutes of rotation, it would make them better. Like, there are teams just starving for that.
Yeah. So again, like, if you're thinking about him as an, like, my thought on him would be, you know, his upside is like solid all-star, maybe more like low end all-star, but it's just like finding someone at that position who's good is just really difficult.
And, but like, would you be surprised if he made an all-NBA team?
Yeah, I think so. I think it would be a little surprising.
Same.
But possible. But yeah. But and I would be very, I mean, okay, anybody can make all-NBA, second team all-NBA lately forward.
Make two all-NBA teams.
Well, or more like if I would be surprised if I thought he should make second team all-NBA.
Fair enough.
At forward. Third team, maybe. I maybe see him being in contention. It would probably still surprise. I think more kind of low-end all-star would be my thought for what I see as upside. And of course, there always could be injuries or stuff like that that are going to derail someone. But yeah, the reality is, like, taking, if you get a, especially at that position in the top, like, you know, in picks even like 2 through 4, like, you've done well. Like, that's actually a good pick. But it's also just not like, oh man, this guy's just, he's going to fucking rule the league someday. Like, no, I don't see that. We done here?
I think so.
All right, that was fun. It took a while. I guess we had to go through all the legal stuff, which is not what I enjoy doing that much, but it definitely needed to be talked about. And thanks so much, everyone, for subscribing. We're doing that sale now in honor of the mock-off season, which is coming up within the month. So if you want to shift over to yearly, you can definitely get big savings by doing that, as opposed to the month-to-month membership, because we appreciate you guys committing to that up front, and we offer commensurate savings as a result. So you, of course, can get so much else as a subscriber as well. And don't forget to check out the Discord, check out your email if you're not doing that, for Dan's Daily Dunks and Seth Partno's Nerd Noshes 2 or 3 times a week. Tons of content coming here over the next month, including many other draft profiles.